in. The listening is fine. The Carolina Outdoors is now in session. Hi, I'm Bill Barty, and each week I get the opportunity to bring the Carolina Outdoors to you. Hopefully along the way, you will be intrigued by an outdoor activity, an outdoor event, or maybe a person who is helping paint a picture of our Carolina Outdoors and beyond. On this edition of the Carolina Outdoors, we're going to be talking to one of those people. But in fact, this is not going to be necessarily an adventure conversation that we often talk about. It's going to be what we see visually here in the Charlotte area. And whenever we're talking visual arts and business signs and signs in the news, we bring on the founder and executive director of the Charlotte Signs Project, Christopher Lawing, to get a lay down of the lowdown. Christopher Lawing is an eighth generation Charlatan. He's the author of Charlotte, The Signs of the Times, a history told through the Queen City's classic roadside signage. He's also a friend of the Carolina Outdoors, and we're going to bring him onto the program right now to find about news in the sign world in the Charlotte area. Christopher, welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's great to be back with you. It's always a joy to be on the Carolina Outdoors, and I can't wait for what we're about to talk about today.
Well, I do know one thing. You have been busy. November and the first part of December, you have been making your way through the community with different presentations to different groups, whether it be Rotary clubs, Civitas groups, all kinds of different groups where you're talking about Charlotte signs. And with that being said, you started the project back in 2010. It was a dream for years before that, and you have collected signs from Charlotte's roadsides and businesses, and whether they're for-profit, non-profit, all of that have been included. But just recently in the news, the past few months, and even before that, has been, I guess, social awareness regarding road signs, like literally DOT road signs, and more specifically, road names. And the Charlotte City Council has recently pursued changing some of those names. So this falls under what many people would call cancel culture, but it's also, I guess, a nod towards social awareness and sensitivities to our past, to our history. And there are tons of mixed attitudes and mixed opinions on this, and we'll share some of ours as well. But help us break down this endeavor over the past year and some of the signs and road names that may be under fire. I'm going to plan out a couple. Well, let's start with four. We have Stonewall Street. We have Bragg. We have Morrison. We have Behringer. These are prominent names in the South. They're prominent names in Charlotte, for sure, from the past. But because of that past, they are under fire. Will you help us understand and break down these different names, where these names come from, and what these names mean to different people?
You know, it's interesting, Bill. I'm glad you laid it out the way you did because, yes, earlier this year, the mayor as well as city leadership recommended that we take a deep look at the streets of Charlotte and what some of these street names are honoring or commemorating or meaning, what their story is behind them. And, you know, that's probably something that's always good to do, to be aware of who you are and where you come from and where you're going to be moving forward. But it's interesting, these, let's just talk about those four names that you mentioned earlier. Stonewall, Morrison, Bragg, Behringer, they certainly were put under the lens of history this past year in 2020, just with events around the country and around the area, but they all have local connections of some sort. Well, most of them do, I should say. One of the ones that I find really interesting, and we're just laying out the facts here, folks, but one of the ones that I find interesting is Osmond Behringer. Now, let me preface this by saying that all of these individuals certainly have their shortcomings, but I'll also say that, and I would wager that probably most of us as humans do too. Now, that's not an excuse for some of their shortcomings, but I want to talk too about some of their more admirable qualities and just bring that to light as part of this greater discussion. The first is, you know, the Barringers. That's an interesting family, interesting people. Oswin Barringer was one of the ones who donated the land and developed for the development of the Revolution Park neighborhood. So that's one of Mr. Barringer's, I should say, legacies. But he was a colorful individual. He was the first resident to own a car in the state of North Carolina. He was also Charlotte's first automobile owner in 1900, and that was a steam-powered locomobile. So I don't know if that's the Stanley Steamer or what that is.
Crazy.
But crazy. He was colorful, loco. Folks. That's right. Loco. I gotcha there. And then the Charlotte Speedway. He was the first owner, well, co-owner of Charlotte's first Speedway, which opened in 1924. And a number of other things, but, you know, the first automotive dealer in Charlotte, the first to take an X-ray photo while a student at Davidson College. So this man certainly was a colorful individual, had some interesting points to his life. Interesting man.
So with that being said, he had shortcomings too, and I guess that was his stance on political things back in the early 20th century, and that's why his name is on the list to be removed from the roadside or street name.
Very much so, and there were, I think, some pamphlets and publications that he was behind, especially some ideas and views that were pro-supremacy that certainly contributed to his shortcomings, and certainly a reason why we as Charlatans are taking a look at why Barringer Drive might need to be renamed.
Well, let's keep on clipping through this. If you're just joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, we have Christopher Lawing. He is the founder and executive director of the Charlotte Signs Project, and we're talking about signs that are up for review, getting their name changed. And these are some prominent people in our history, one way or another. One very prominent one, and a road name that is close to us here at Jesse Brown's, where we hang our hat outfitting people for adventure across the Carolinas and beyond, is Morrison Drive. Now, that is a prominent name. Governor Cameron Morrison is who that was named for. Moorcroft Farms was his the namesake of he, as well as that road name. And this one is up for removal or renaming, I should say.
That's right. Of course, Morrison Boulevard and Cameron Morrison Street over here in the South Park area. And that's not by accident, because he had his farm and dairy farm here back a number of years ago, back in the 20s and 30s. And yes, Bill, it was called Moorcroft. And most of the land around South Park is what his farm was. You know, it's just been parceled out over the years. So that's why you have the shopping center Moorcroft, the Moorcroft Dairy, you know, heritage and history. But anyways, Cameron Morrison, otherwise known as the Good Roads Governor, he was inaugurated in 1921, and as the governor of North Carolina, very interesting life lived as well, of course with shortcomings, but of course with other accomplishments throughout his life. One, the reason the city is looking at changing those names, or his name, is for past involvements with the 1898 Wilmington riots and other following events, which you can examine later. But one thing that I want to mention is, yes, he was known as the Good Roads Governor, but he was also one who led the state in committing an ambitious 6-year, $20 million expansion in 1921 of the overcrowded state institutions of higher learning. So very much so higher education, the asylums, the reformatories, sanatoriums, the schools. And in relation to us here at Jesse Brown's, he also was very much involved in the diversification of farmers and the diversification of the commercial fishing industry. He was very much involved in the promotion of seaports down at the coast and very much involved in the waterways and fisheries in that regard too. So mention public education, instruction, the public fishing industry, the roads. He certainly accomplished quite a lot in his years as governor. Again, overshadowed by some of his involvements in previous years, as well as some things throughout his governorship.
We've got the sign guy here on the Carolina Outdoors, Christopher Line, and of course we love talking about signs and what's being renovated and what's being changed, and a look back into history as we look forward into the future. Right now we've got Christopher kind of giving us a breakdown of the DOT signs, or CDOT, renaming, rightly or wrongly so. We wanted to bring it forth to the Carolina Outdoors for discussion. Hey, we got two generals. We could do this. The city of Charlotte has a long list of people who are being considered for renaming. And maybe now's a good time. I wanted to ask you about, you know, Stonewall, General Stonewall Jackson. There was a little bit of debate whether that Stonewall Street was actually named for him or if it was named for a stone wall. I don't know if that was trying to, you know, leave it. And, of course, the other general, Civil War General Bragg, General Bragg, and that is as well. Those two guys are from the antebellum era and then into the Civil War. That's where they really became famed during the Civil War. Similar to Morrison and Barringer, they were a little bit later in time, but both of these two different sets of names were around each other at similar times. One in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, well, 1850s to 60s, let's just say it like that. And Morrison and Barringer, early 20th century, late 19th century. What is your view as the, you know, the director of the Charlotte Signs Project, celebrating history, but still being sensitive to the future and that? What do you think of all this? Changing names, knowing that we all have shortcomings, and then I'm going to ask you another question in regards to new names.
Well, that's interesting, Bill. I think it really does depend on an individual case-by-case basis, because I would say that as humans, you know, you and I included, we have our shortcomings that we certainly, if we had a street named after us, you know, could have scrutiny over that. Now, there's also, of course, streets that are named after people who are more well-known than others. So some streets, the general populace doesn't even know that that was named after a person or who that person was. Some people might see a street name and know, oh, that's this person, and you know, they think about them in a certain way. But it's interesting that you mention Stonewall Jackson, because, or Stonewall Street, because Stonewall Street was named after Stonewall Jackson, very accomplished, I guess, military might of the Civil War. But what is fascinating is he was part of the renaming of four streets in the latter part of the Civil War, or shortly thereafter. Here in Charlotte, you had Lee Street, you had Stonewall Street, you had Hill Street, and you had, I'm blanking on the fourth one. What do we say? We said Lee, Hill, Stonewall, and, oh well, we'll think of the fourth one later. But anyways, two of those are still around. We have Hill, which is still downtown and is being looked at as well, and then Stonewall Street. Now, none of those four had really a connection to Charlotte, but out of the four, Stonewall Jackson had more of a connection than the others, and that was through his wife, his widow, Mary Anna Morrison Jackson, who died in 1915, but prior to that lived for years here in Charlotte, downtown Charlotte, on Trade Street, two blocks down from the train station that was there at that time. time, and she was known as being very hospitable, very gracious, very civic-minded, very involved in the city, and for years, veterans coming through Charlotte from the Confederacy would stop off at the train station waiting for their transfer and would walk up to the house just, you know, two blocks, if that, away, and would pay their respects to her and to her late husband. So she was certainly a gracious, very involved person in the city of Charlotte. Her husband, not so much, but that's the naming behind that street. And then, Bill, you mentioned Bragg Street. Of course, that is named after Braxton Bragg, another very involved officer and leader, if you will, in the Confederacy during the Civil War. But what makes that street different from all these others is it is a private street. So all these others are city streets. Bragg is a private street. So I'll be interested in seeing how a private street is the city's jurisdiction over that. Can they rename it? Do they just pressure the owner to change it? I don't know, but that's a little bit of the history there.
All right. Well, the Carolina Outdoors is in session. You may be listening to us via podcast. If you like what you hear on each segment of the Carolina Outdoors, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find us and enjoy the information that we share here on the Carolina Outdoors. We also welcome up and down the Eastern Seaboard as we blast on WBT Radio early on a Saturday morning. Those that may be listening via terrestrial radio, I'm Bill Bartee, your host. We've got Christopher Lyon of the Charlotte Signs Project talking about, guess what? Charlotte Signs. And you started this off, and we started this off by noting that people have shortcomings. Mine are on display all the time, every day, so don't point those out too much. Many of our listeners may know them. But Christopher, are we going to get away from naming streets and businesses for people in order to, no matter who that person is, because of, I mean, Billy Graham Parkway. I mean, should moving away from people's names be part of the solution?
Well, you know, first off, I would hope to say that with the exception of some street names, I would hope that most of these street names we're discussing were named after these individuals, not because of their shortcomings and for views they may have had at the time, but after they had lived their life, and sometimes while they were living it, for the accomplishments that they had had. I would like to think that Marson Boulevard was named Marson Boulevard, not because of what he did in 1898, but because of what he did in the years after that, especially as governor. And he was, I didn't mention this earlier, he was instrumental in creating a couple commissions that were very anti-racist, very cooperative between African-Americans and whites at the time, as well as rooting out and opposing lynching. So, you know, it's very interesting that you have these kind of two different sides to the sword on these individuals, which is always the case. You know, there's always a different story to whatever story you're talking about. So the other thing that I think is interesting and, you know, want to bring up too is if we're going to take a look at these street names named after individuals, you know, we should be taking a look at every street name named after an individual, not just because there was a certain part of history that maybe they were involved with. Because again, everybody has their shortcomings. You know, I'm sure they did something that was overly wrong at some point in their lives as well. So it's an interesting conversation. It's one that needs to be had, but it's also one that I think people need to very much be open-minded to the larger story and the larger context, and while acknowledging past wrongs, celebrating accomplishes and accomplishments of these individuals later in life. I think that's an interesting, you know, balance that can be had without getting rid of entirely.
Of course, this is in the news now, or was in the news earlier this year. The city of Charlotte has made these that we mentioned, plus others, under a list for review. The way it's being talked about here on the Carolina Outdoors is maybe leave it alone. But that's not going to happen, though, with the city of Charlotte. These are going to be changed. We just don't know what they're going to be changed to.
That's right. And the city of Charlotte had a public option forum on December the 13th was when it was due, so that people could submit feedback. And so we'll see where this is headed, Bill. We'll keep you posted.
Well, it kind of makes it a little bit melancholy because of the strengths that are there. It just depends on what you want to focus on, I guess. And right now they're focused on that. Thanks for keeping us updated and celebrating the signs of Charlotte in the visual history as we move forward into the future here on the Carolina Outdoors with our Charlotte signs. He's Christopher Lawing. I'm Bill Bartee. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.